Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1148. The topic is training and the title is The Benefits of New Positions. So, I was actually talking with one of my online clients. We do a weekly consultation where we actually do like a Zoom consultation so we get to see each other face-to-face every week. I do that with quite a few clients, which is actually really nice, so that way you get kind of that personal touch. And then also some of the clients have home gyms, so they'll set their cameras up and be like, can you watch me do this? And it's always kind of fun. So it's like a virtual personal training session, but I've really enjoyed those. I definitely got into doing this because I like to help people, so it's nice to see the people and get to know people on a personal level. So it's pretty cool. So I was talking with this client, and we were talking about just some of the new exercises that I included in their programming, and they were asking some questions as to what the decisions were for the exercises. Now, thankfully, they were positive, so the person liked them, and they were just wondering, you know, just kind of like, oh, this one really felt really cool. Is, you know, I felt this and this. Is that okay? And we were excited that they were actually feeling the things that I wanted. So I thought it would be fun to share a little bit about their background, what they were experiencing, and how it was related to a change of positioning with the exercise, and then how we all can benefit a couple other ways as well to having new positions in our training. So this client, they have a long history of hip instability and hypermobility. So they actually have like pain in joints and kind of movements due to being hypermobile. They're actually too flexible. So what we've had to do is to strengthen the range of motion that they have available to them, so that way when they get into the extended ranges of motion, they're not actually weak and causing joint pain or trouble there. They're strong enough to actually support those positions. Now, her program is addressed for that, but also we're working on fat loss, and then we're also working on muscular shaping balance, and you could kind of consider that like aesthetic development, making sure, for example, the back side of the shoulder matches the front side of the shoulder, the hamstrings match the quadriceps, just making sure everything kind of looks nice and balanced. And then we're also working on strength. So this client's actually currently working towards a powerlifting meet. So we're addressing hypermobility, we're addressing fat loss, muscular shaping balance and strength all in one program. I love this stuff. So I love things that are layered and complex like that just because it makes it more fun to write the programs. Now, one of the current aspects that we're addressing is specifically a tight left hamstring and a tight right IT band. IT band is, it kind of runs from the outside of your hip down towards your knee. And if that thing's tight, it can kind of create a lot of like stiffness and mobility issues in your hip, but also a lot of knee pain. So we've been able to address that issue to a good degree, so she's getting a lot more freedom of motion, a lot less pain, really minimal pain, if any, outside of our workouts. And then in some of our challenging positions that we're using to test her pain levels, she's been improving and getting better all the time. So that's awesome. Now, one of the things we also did was we worked on the musculature around her knees. So if you address the muscle around a joint, it then helps to take away stress from the joint itself because the muscle can hold more of the tension and kind of stress components. So that's been a huge benefit as well. So now, in the recent program, one of the things I did was I changed how we were doing a lat pulldown. If you don't know what a lat pulldown is, you can just kind of pause the podcast and do a YouTube search for it. But essentially, it's a pull-up, but instead of pulling yourself up to something, you're pulling a weighted handle down to you. So lat pulldown. Lat is short for latissimus dorsi, which is a fancy name no one ever says. Now, that typically would be done in... she actually has a home gym that has a lat pull-down machine. Pretty badass. Her and her husband have created a pretty awesome, amazing home gym. So I usually always rate the programming to whatever the client has available. So that way we can best use the equipment they have available and obviously not want to ask them to do something that they don't have access to. So everything's specific for what the client has. So we were doing a typical seated lat pull-down before. And now with kind of her chiropractor had asked if we would start to kind of address certain other things. So it just kind of helped us kind of shift some of our focus. We're all kind of working together towards it. So we wanted to do a little bit extra work on that hamstring, trying to open up the tightness in the hamstring. And what I decided to do was to change one of her movements. Like we said, the seated lat pull down from a machine where you typically sit in like kind of like on a chair with like thigh pads, like on top of your thighs holding you down. We actually are doing them now where she's sitting on the floor in front of a cable stack machine. Now, she is, like I said, a pretty badass gym, so she actually has a cable stack equipment from the company Sornex. Awesome equipment. Love their equipment. And what it does is it allows for seated cable rows on the floor, but the pulley height can actually be changed. Instead of having it directly in front of you, you can also put it all the way up, like way over your head. So think of it as she's sitting on the floor. Her legs are now actually extended out in front of her against kind of like foot pads that she braces against. But her legs are extended out in front of her. She has to be sitting upright and actually leaning slightly forward. And then she's doing a pull down from over her head. What this does is that position forces a stretch through the hamstrings, the glutes, and the lower back. So, by us paying attention to our abdominal bracing during this position, we're making sure that the stretch does not come from her lower back, and it's actually being forced through her hamstrings. This is helping us get a stretch in the hamstrings that typically we would not get from a lat pulldown. So, by changing the position, we've now added extra benefit to that exercise. And furthermore, we actually force more stability and activation through core muscles that relate to hip positioning, the psoas and the hip flexors, and then there's some other ones, but that's kind of the bigger ones. So essentially with this exercise, we're still working the lats, which we would always want to do, for powerlifting positional strength, like to brace properly in squat, bench, and deadlift, and then also just for aesthetic development of the back. If she were to bring out her upper lats, it helps improve her V-taper when you're looking at it from the front or the back, and that just really helps kind of narrow the visual of your hips, and it helps really kind of bring in the midsection, so it creates a better overall aesthetic. And then we're also getting that stretch in the hamstrings. So this exercise component of a lat pulldown was already beneficial in its own way. But by changing the position, we're actually getting extra benefit by getting extra stretch attention on the hamstrings and extra stabilization, tightness, and awareness through the psoas and hip flexors. So, pretty cool to see that even just one small example of a change can lead to really large kind of benefits, and ones that we like, benefits that we might not actually typically have thought of. So we're doing other types of hamstring stretching, and anytime we increase range of motion of a muscle, we also want to strengthen within that new range of motion. So if somebody typically isn't suffering from hypermobility, which is typically everybody else, is that we're not flexible enough. Anytime you do a stretch where you try to activate and open up new range of motion, you also want to do some type of resistance within that new range of motion, so that way that new range of motion kind of stays. Typically, if you do a stretch, you open up new range of motion, but you don't do anything with the muscle. It closes right back down to where it was before. Often, muscles are tight because they're weak. So if you open them up and force them to do work, but you don't actually build upon their ability to do work in that position, you don't make them any stronger, they're going to tighten right back down to where they were before. So this is something we always do with any of our clients, is just, if I'm going to increase their range of motion, I'm also going to strengthen that. So we would almost never just do stretches and then walk away or be stretching and then be done for the day. So we always want to kind of do some kind of stretch, some type of strengthening. And that's going to help just improve our strength within that range of motion, which for this client being hypermobile, it decreases pain when she gets into extended ranges of motion. For most people, it allows you to open up new range of motion, and then by strengthening it, you get to maintain that range of motion. So you actually get to increase your range of motion over time. So, again, the same exercise being a lat pull down, but with a new position, it offers us new benefits. I have another client who is insanely, insanely strong. He can conventional deadlift well over 3 times his body weight, and he does a sumo deadlift of over 4 times his body weight. Yeah, those are the people we hate. They're ridiculously strong. Amazing. Now, he works his butt off, so he earned it. But he's crazy, crazy strong, and in order to do both of those positions and at that many times your body weight, you would believe that you would have to have incredibly strong hamstrings, right? Hamstrings that must be like bulletproof. They're amazing. Well, we actually have exposed some weakness in his hamstrings. He actually had an injury before we met that he thought was going to force him to not be able to do powerlifting anymore. Now, that's actually the reason why we started working together, and we've done great. So he is now an elite level powerlifter and has an over 9-time body weight total. The hamstring is no issue whatsoever. So we've worked really hard to kind of address that and correct that and strengthen it, as well as other issues as related to the hip and the old injury. But what's neat to see is when we first started, we would try to expose his hamstring, really try to find any weakness in any kind of movement pattern that was related to our goals. So powerlifting. We would try to find some type of movement pattern isolated in the sense to where, okay, he can do the global movement of a deadlift really well. But if I break down a deadlift into subsections, are there any weak subsections? And if I strengthen a subsection, I'll strengthen the whole thing. So that's a really cool way to look at powerlifting, is almost how a bodybuilder would look at it, is you try to break everything down into isolations, and then you build the whole system back up. It's pretty neat. Like, there's actually a lot of blend between powerlifting and bodybuilding that people aren't aware of, and it's pretty cool. So one of the things we did recently with this client was we were doing GHD single leg hamstring raises. Those are horrendous. They will murder you, but they're fantastic. So we were able to find that he had a left side versus right side difference in strength in that movement. Pretty cool. So it was exposing some of that old hamstring injury that his body has gotten really freaking good at hiding. Hence, he's so good he can do, you know, 9 times body weight total. But by isolating it out and finding a new position, we were able to find that weakness. As we address that weakness, his whole system will get stronger, which is great. But what I more so care about is it'll keep him safer. So he'll be able to lift longer for pain, like pain-free, for the whole rest of his life. That's pretty badass, and that makes me feel good. And then he's also getting to be, like, crazy national level top strength in the process, which is also pretty cool, too. So it's pretty neat that somebody who's already very strong, already elite, already advanced, can still benefit from a change of position. By trying to find and isolate out those weakest links, by strengthening those, you then make the whole system stronger. So, pretty cool to see in these examples that we can use new positions to add new values, such as adding a hamstring stretch to a lat pulldown. We can use new positions to expose old issues, such as finding weaknesses in a hamstring that otherwise seems to hide really freaking well in big, global, kind of multi-muscle, multi-joint movements. Another client I have is an example of showing the benefit of new positions to increase muscular awareness and muscular recruitment. So this client, he has done aesthetic competitions before, but he's been told and he knows his chest is lagging. He doesn't have a very well-developed chest, and he's always had trouble kind of feeling his chest. So we tried a couple things here and there, and what we found was one of the movements that works really well is push-ups with his hands on a band across a squat rack. So you can put, like, you could use J-cups, but J-cups have sharp edges, and your gym owner will hate me for saying J-cups. But you can use nice, rounded, smooth edges, such as, like, band pegs, and you can put a band across a squat rack, as an example. And then you want to put a pretty strong band that can hold most of your body weight. And then what he's doing is he's putting his hands on the band to do push-ups. The band is unstable and it's making his chest muscles, along with his shoulders, his lats, and some other bracing muscles of his upper back and shoulders, to have to activate to hold his position. He got really good at that, so he started putting his feet on a Bosu ball, like a physio ball. So now he does push-ups with his hands on band and his feet on a physio ball, and it looks completely insane. He has not lost a tooth yet, but it looks like he's about to. But what he loves about it is his chest is lit up. He can actually finally kind of feel his chest. Now, the cool thing is that's a great way to feel your chest. The kind of challenge to that is it's only to the weight load of his body weight. We don't want to stack a bunch of 45s on his upper back and have him die if he gets slightly out of position. So it's a really good kind of medium weighted or lighter weighted movement. That's going to help with some type of recruitment and awareness development, but it's not going to help a lot with growth once you get past kind of a beginner or intermediate level. So what we're also doing is we're doing banded bench press. Not banded like reverse banded from the top, but banded from the floor. So he goes to a gym that has the capabilities of doing that. If you don't have that, just get something that's stupidly really heavy that you can put underneath the bar path of your barbell when you bench press. And that could be like 100-pound dumbbells, or that could be, I don't know, whatever, if you have a really fat dog, how about that? Just put something underneath the band, the bar path, and then put hook bands underneath it. And what that does is the bands are going to be pulling the bar down to you. And then whenever you have to press it away, as you're pressing, the weight of the bands actually increases. So it becomes harder and harder and harder for you to extend your arm. Well, the chest is activated in that extension because the chest has to contract to bring your upper arm bone across your body, kind of closer to your body. So as your upper arm bone is coming closer to your midline, your chest is more and more and more recruited. Well, if you're adding band tension and that band is pulling and pulling and pulling at the bar the entire time you're pressing, it destroys your chest. It's fantastic. So he's actually sending me messages every week now saying how extremely happy he is that his chest is always sore. So that's pretty cool to hear. But in these three examples, we can see how there's a lot of benefit to changing and trying new positions, trying new exercises. So that's kind of the summary of the podcast, is to try new things. I have a list of exercises that I actually use to write programming, and it has actually grown now. It's a Microsoft Word document because I was born in the 80s, and I like Microsoft Word. It's what I learned, and I'm comfortable with it. But it's 160 pages, and each page has roughly about 16 links to exercise tutorial videos. So that's over 2,500 exercises that I know and I use for my clients' programming. I actually do the Control F function to find the exercises just by name. So I just kind of think to my client, like, okay, I think they would really need this. I start typing the name, it pops up, and then there's my exercise video link. So it's pretty cool to write programming that uses over 2,500 exercises. That's a lot. Do I believe that you will know 2,500 exercises? I hope you do, but probably unlikely. So I've been doing this forever, so that probably makes me a little bit of a head start on you. Now, the thing you can do to kind of implement this on your own is just think that what are some movements that you know and you feel comfortable with? And then what you can do is go to YouTube, for example, and type in, like, variations. Like, okay, I like dumbbell chest presses. I have, like, a full set of dumbbells at home. I don't really have a lot of machines, but I like dumbbell chest presses. I feel like they're super strong. I always feel like I grow from them well. But I only really know flat chest press and some incline presses, and that's kind of it. Well, just type dumbbell chest press variations into YouTube. You're going to find enormous variety of things. I actually wrote a program for a client that had 52 variations of chest presses, so he could do a different chest press every week of the year. So there are actually that many chest press variations, which is pretty neat to see. I actually did that for a different client. I did 52 variations of leg press. Pretty cool. You can also do something as simple as like a cable seated row. Is a pretty good exercise that a lot of people know, and just try every single handle you can find in your gym. If you try different handles, you'll feel different areas of your back contract, and it's a great way to kind of find the benefits and feel the benefits that we're talking about in this podcast. So you don't have to know 2,500 exercises, but you can definitely play around with the ones that you do know by just searching for variations on YouTube and or trying different handles or different hand positions. So if you have a favorite, you know, overhead press machine and it has an overhand grip versus a neutral grip, try both grips. You know, just try a little bit more variety. Get out of your comfort zone and try a little bit of that new positions to get some of these benefits. Cool. Well, I hope you give it a try. If you are struggling with ideas or anything like that, just shoot us an email. Email is brutallarongym@gmail.com. And then, of course, if you'd like help with programming, I'm always happy to do that. That way you can get access to 2,500 exercises so I can write the best stuff for you. But I really hope that you give this a try. It truly does help people make kind of faster progress, keep themselves more interested. Typically, the programs I write for clients, we're renewing programs every 4 weeks. So every 4 weeks, they get a new exercise. It gives them the first week to figure out what in the world's going on and kind of get a feel of the movement. The second week, they feel more confident so they can start trying to push a little bit harder into their like potential strength in that movement or potential performance. The third week, they feel super confident and they actually kind of push themselves pretty hard. The fourth week, you eke out whatever you can for performance wise, then the fifth week we go back to a new movement. So it's pretty cool. We always stay in the areas of focus that we need, but we try to do new positions and new variations. It really helps the clients kind of always be learning something new and trying something new, and then also learning over time. They now have a library of exercises that they can use for the rest of their life. So pretty cool. Okay, well, if you have any questions, if you ever want to give this a try and you're not sure what to do, just shoot me an email at brutallarongym@gmail.com. You can always learn more about us on our website at www.brutallarongym.com as well. Cool. Well, if you like today's podcast, if you think it's helpful, please share it. If the podcast has been helpful in your life, please allow it to be helpful in others. The more we share the podcast, the more people we can help. So pretty cool. Thank you for the patrons of the podcast, people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean platform, and through the podcast donation link accessible on our Instagram homepage. That's really cool that people are asking about that on ways to help support us. I really appreciate the donations. It means a lot. The podcast is actually well over $1,000 a year, so I really appreciate the financial help so we can keep doing this every single day. Awesome. Also, if you like the information we present in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything that you want to know, let us know at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.